Grab your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Each year, through the nominating committee, the church will elect messengers. Every year when the nominating committee presents their recommendations to the church, one of those recommendations is a position known as messenger. The purpose of a messenger is that they are chosen to represent the church at the national, state, and associational levels. A messenger is able to go to our national convention, our state convention, our associational meetings, and they are able to vote on behalf of the church. The church gives them the authority to speak on behalf of the church. In order for the messengers to be good at their duty, they need to know and understand the will of the church and obey it. The messenger represents the church, not themselves as an individual. They do not advance their name. They do not advance their cause. They go to make sure that the church they represent is heard and represented. God chooses you and me to be His messengers. We represent Him to the world, and in order for us to do our duty, we need to know His will and obey it. Today, we will see how David and Solomon were chosen to represent God and how they obeyed. Then we will look at our lives to see how God has called us to represent Him and how we are to obey. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, the Word of God reads, "Now David assembled at Jerusalem all the leaders of Israel, the officers of the tribes and the captains of the divisions who served the king, the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king, and of his sons, with the officials, the valiant men, and all the mighty men of valor. Then King David rose to his feet and said, 'Hear me, my brethren, and of my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, "You shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. However, the Lord God of Israel chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he was pleased with me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. Now he said to me, "It is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments as it is this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful passage that you give to us here in Chronicles. And I pray that you would help each and every one of us see today that you have chosen us for a purpose, that you have a purpose for us, that you have a place for us, and that we are to seek your will and to serve you with all that we are. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts. I pray that you would encourage us. I pray that you would strengthen us, and I pray that you would be with us this day. And I pray that everything that is spoken would be your will and your word and not mine. Lord, we thank you. We love you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. So as we begin, the first thing that we see is we see that David was chosen to be king. And as we look at the first four verses, we see that David gets everybody together. He organizes the leaders and the officials and all these people together. And he says, you know, I had it in my heart to build the house for God, but God said, nope, you've shed too much blood. And so instead, someone else will have to build it. But David also says, as we see in verse 4, he says, however, the Lord God of Israel chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever, for he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he was pleased with me to make me king over all of Israel. So, as we set up the context of this passage, David is near the end of his life, and he is getting things ready for his son Solomon to become the next king of Israel. David is about to pass away. He's about to go home to be with the Lord, and Solomon, his son, is about to become king. And so David gets all the people together to recount what God has done. One of the many things that I love about David is how much he gives credit to God. As you read through the Psalms of David, the Psalms that were written by David, you will see clearly the love that he had for God the Father and how he would give God the credit for what happened. He didn't take credit for his military advancements. He gave the credit to God. He didn't take credit for the kingdom. He gave credit to God. Here, we see that he is not taking credit for being king, but making clear that God is the one that chose him to be king. God is the one that put him on the throne. And so David saw that his successes was not a result of his own doing, but of the fact that God was with him and brought him to these points. And so David helps the people see how far God has brought them as a nation. Now, they went from wandering in the wilderness. Well, actually, if we go back even further, they went from being slaves in Egypt to wandering in the wilderness for 40 years to the time of the judges, which, well, we just don't even want to get into what that was like, to Saul, the first king, who really wasn't that much of a king after all, and now they have experienced prosperity and advancement, and they are an incredible, powerful nation under the leadership of David. And so David shows that he had a heart to build a temple, but God has other plans. David wanted to have a place for the ark to rest, a place for the presence of God to be. David was not chosen for this task because of the blood that he shed. And as we look at the life of David, David was a mighty warrior, and as a mighty warrior, he shed a lot of blood. And we even know when we look at the story of Bathsheba, that he destroyed innocent blood with her husband. And so, however, even though David was not chosen to build the temple, David was still chosen by God to be king. And what a great king he would be. David was chosen to be the king of the people. And as we think about this, think about how large the people of Israel were. When you look at the people of Israel, the people of Israel was divided into 12 tribes. Jacob, also known as Israel, had 12 sons, and each one of those sons represented a tribe. Well, of all the tribes of Israel, Judah is the tribe that is chosen to be the line of the king. Judah was not the firstborn of Israel. Judah was not the secondborn of Israel. Usually it is the firstborn son who will be the leader or the ruler. Well, when we look at the history of Jacob and his sons, Judah is not the firstborn or the secondborn. When Israel blesses his sons, or when Jacob blesses his sons, he shows that Judah is the tribe where kings will come from. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. And so we clearly see in Scripture that Judah is chosen to be the tribe of kings. Well, of all the tribes of Judah, the family of Jesse was chosen for king. 1 Samuel 16:1 says, "Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you be grieving over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn of oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I see among his sons a king for me.'" Well, Jesse had many sons. And out of all of his sons, the youngest, David, was the one chosen to be king. At first, even the prophet does not see David as the king. When Samuel sees the firstborn of Jesse, he says, "Surely the anointed of the Lord is before me." And God says, "Nope, he is not the one. I don't see as you see. I don't see outward appearance. I see the heart. He's not the one I've chosen. David's the one I've chosen." Out of all the tribes of Israel, the family of Judah. Out of all the families of Judah, the family of Jesse. Out of all the sons of Jesse, David. God chose David for a purpose, and that purpose was to be king of the people. And when God chooses for a purpose, we need to understand that God does not make mistakes. David was made the head of Judah, and then 7 years later, he would become the head of all of Israel. David would be a great king and a great leader. Under him, there was unity. He was considered a man after God's own heart. David clearly shows that God put him and his son in the charge of the people. And God also told David that he would have a permanent dynasty. Not only did God choose David to be king, but God chose David to be king forever. In 2 Samuel 7:16, it says, "And the house of your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever." This is God speaking to David. Isaiah 11:10 tells us, "Then it will be in that day that the nations will seek the root of Jesse, who will stand as a standard for the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious." Paul quotes this passage in Isaiah in Romans 15, which helps us to see that Jesus Christ is the root of Jesse. Matthew 1:1 says, "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Joseph, who was Jesus' father, is a descendant of King David. Isn't that awesome? David was chosen as king. It was chosen that his line would rule for all time. And Jesus comes from his line. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes from the line of David. David had made plans and preparations, but God had different plans. David's like, "I'm going to build a temple." And if you remember the story between David and Nathan, David tells Nathan the prophet, I'm going to build a house for God. And Nathan says, "Do whatever's in your heart." And that night, God comes and says, no, tell David it ain't for him to do. So David had plans. David made preparations, but God had different plans. Even though David did not get to build the temple, he was chosen to serve God in a mighty way. This is why it is so essential for us to seek God and obey what he says. We may have a good plan, but God's plan is always better. It is up to us to seek what God chooses for us and to do what he would want us to do. Often we make plans, and in the midst of making those plans, we hear God say, "Good plan. You forgot to ask me, though." Our plans can be good. God's plans are always better. And so we see that David was chosen to be king. As we continue looking at the text, we see that his son Solomon was also chosen to be king and chosen to build the temple. In verse 5 through 7, we see, "And of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons." We know David had a lot of kids. "He has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. Now he said to me, 'It is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments as it is this day." So as the text continues, we see that Solomon is chosen to be the next king out of David's many sons. God chose Solomon. Interestingly, Solomon is chosen after everything that went down between David and Bathsheba. Solomon is the son of David and Bathsheba, the second son of David and Bathsheba. And so, as we think about that, is it not incredible that of all the sons of David, Solomon is the one that was chosen? This teaches you and I two very important, powerful lessons. Number one, we serve a God of forgiveness. When we come to God and repent of our sin, He restores us. Number two, God does not hold a child responsible for his parents' sins. David and Bathsheba were the ones that had sinned, not Solomon. And so Solomon is not held accountable for those sins. And so Solomon is chosen by God to be the next king and to build the temple. And as we look at all this chosen talk, we got to be a little careful. Because there are some that believe that when it talks about God choosing people, it's talking about salvation. They believe that God chose some people to go to heaven and some people to go to hell. And it's all about the choice of God. But when I look at Scripture, I see here David was chosen to be king, not saved. Solomon was chosen to be king, not saved. Solomon was chosen to build a temple. Moses was chosen to lead the people out of Israel. Samuel was chosen to be a prophet. Jeremiah was chosen to be a prophet. God does not choose our eternal destination, but God does choose us to serve us. And God chose David to be king. And he had to follow and obey. God chose Solomon to be king, and he had to obey. Solomon was chosen to build the temple in Jerusalem where the presence of God would be. But here is the kicker. Solomon is told that if he obeys the commands of God, then his kingdom will be established forever. For a while, Solomon would follow after the ways of the Lord. When God asked him what he wanted, I mean, if God came to you and said, "What you want?" How would you answer that? "I'll give you anything you want. What is it?" Solomon says, "I want wisdom to lead your people." Moses is asked the same question. Moses says, "I want you to teach me your ways." Most of us would be like, "I want an infinite supply of money. I want an infinite plate of tacos." Most of us would probably, if God was to ask us for anything in the world, what would it be? And he gives that to Solomon. Solomon says, "I want wisdom to lead your people." And Solomon, for a while, would follow after the Lord. But in the end, Solomon would turn away. And in 1 Kings 11:11 says, "So the Lord said to Solomon, 'Because this has happened with you, you have not kept my covenant, my statutes, which I have commanded you, so I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant.'" The kingdom would split under the leadership of Rehoboam because Solomon deserted the Lord. There is a need for the people of God to obey the commands of God. Solomon was told that if he obeyed the Lord and followed his commandments, his kingdom would last forever. But he did not obey. If you obey, this will be your inheritance. If you do not obey, then bad things will happen. When we seek God's ways and obey them, good things happen and we are blessed. And so David now gives the command in front of God and the people that Solomon is to keep and seek all the commands of God. So far we have seen that David was chosen to be king. We have seen that Solomon was chosen to be king and build the temple. And so now we're going to bring it down to us this morning. And we're going to see that you and I, we are chosen
to obey.
Verse 8 says, "Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek." That word seek means to guard, watch, keep. It is, it brings with it both hear and do, both hear and obey. So it is, you need to seek the ways of the Lord and keep them, or you need to seek the ways of God and do them. So seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess the good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. David was a chosen representative of God, and he was to obey the will of God. Solomon was a chosen representative of God, and he was to obey the will of God. You and I are chosen representatives of God, and we are to obey the will of God. For Solomon to succeed, there was a need to obey. We often like to leave this part of the story out. Now, we like to talk about how God blesses and restores, which he does. We like to talk about how God forgives us and loves us and cares for us, and he does. But we like to leave out the part where God is a jealous God, a good God, a God of wrath and mercy, and a God that requires obedience of his people. Things could have been a whole lot different for Solomon and Rehoboam if they would have listened to God. When you look at once the kingdom is divided into the northern kingdom and the northern kingdom never had another godly king, and they were sent into exile a lot quicker than the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom avoided exile a lot longer because there were good kings mixed in that followed after the Lord. But ultimately, wickedness caused the people to be taken into exile. God has called us. God has chosen us to serve him. And he expects us to obey his word and what he has called us to do. When God calls us to a task, he expects us to do it. You know, it's interesting that this is the passage that God has given to speak today as we are working on nominating committee positions. It drives me completely bonkers when a nominating committee comes to somebody and says, "Hey, would you be willing to serve in this position?" And they say, "Well, if no one else wants to." Do you think that is a hard attitude right before Holy God? Well, if you can't find somebody else, that's not what we ask. Yes or no? Has God called you? Well, have you even prayed about it? Well, no. So, as we think about all that, right now, things are going well for the people because they're walking in the ways of the Lord. And look at how things are going for the people of Israel. David has built this massive kingdom under the power of God. Things are going great. His son Solomon has taken over the kingdom. They're building this elaborate temple. Solomon has all these incredible building projects. There is peace and everything is going great because they are following after the Lord. But as soon as they turn their back on the Lord, bad things begin to happen. The people will rebel, follow after other gods, and God will punish them and send them into exile. Even so, the promised restoration will always come when the line of David once again takes the throne. Because a day is coming when the descendant of King David, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will descend from heaven, will step foot on this earth, will sit down on the throne, and rule and reign for all eternity. Then all will be made right in the world. So even in the midst of exile, even in the midst of punishment, 1st and 2nd Chronicles was written while the people were in exile. So this passage of Scripture would have been an incredible picture of hope to the people. Because it is a promise of the restoration. It is a promise that David will always have an heir on the throne. It is a promise that the people would once again come into the promised land, and that the Savior would come and sit up on the throne of David. Because God will always keep his promises. There is hope and that hope is Jesus, and there is always hope because there is always Jesus. Amen. But we have to obey. God has called us to serve Him in obedience. We are chosen for a purpose. God has called each of us to serve. It just looks different for each of us. Our gifts are different, but the Spirit is the same. As we are chosen to serve God, we are chosen to obey the call that He has placed on our lives. God has chosen me to be a pastor. And so it's kind of interesting, and I love this truth of Scripture. I really love this. When somebody attacks me as a pastor, they're actually attacking God, because God is the one who chose me and called me to be a pastor. Whew, that's kind of scary, isn't it? God has chosen some of you to be Sunday school teachers. And that's a powerful role. I still remember my earliest Sunday school teachers and the impact that they had on my life. Sunday school is important. I learned a lot of the stories of the Bible. I learned a lot about the Bible through Sunday school. Some have been called and chosen to be deacons. It is an honor. It is a joy. It is incredible to be called by God to be a deacon, someone who serves the church and represents the people. And you know what? God has called some people to change the trash. And you know what? That's just as important. Amen. I say this and I will continue to say this. The people that stand in the back and greet as you come in are just as important as the choir who gets up and sings, which is just as important as the one who gets up and speaks. It all comes together, and God has given each and every one of us different gifts, and He has chosen us to use those gifts for His honor and His glory, to be the men and women that He has called us to be. No matter what position God calls us to, that position is just as important as any other position, and we are to obey what God has called us to do, even if we're afraid. If God has called you to serve, serve. If God has called you to teach, teach. If God has called you to give, give. If God has called you to love, love. If God has called you to lead, lead. If God has called you to preach, preach. If God has called you to teach, teach. If God has called you to administer, administer. If God has called you to sing, sing. Whatever God has called you to do, say, yes, Lord, yes. Say, God, yes. Because David was chosen to be king and he obeyed. David was chosen. And what a great king he was. Because here's another powerful truth. And if you don't hear anything else I've said this morning, hear this. There is no such thing as a small position in a church. Every position is vital. We cannot do it if we don't all work together. If God has called you to it, be proud of it. If God has called you to that position, be proud of it. I get to serve in the church. As He calls out to us, we must follow through in obedience. We are to keep and seek all His commands. How are we doing? How are we doing at that? David was chosen to be king. Solomon was chosen to be king and build a temple. You and I are chosen to obey. I want to ask you this morning, how has God chosen and called you to serve in His kingdom? How has God chosen and called you to serve in His kingdom? Right now, the nominating committee is meeting to work on positions for the next year. And by the grace of God, we have seen an incredible outpouring of hearts who are willing to serve. But if you're willing to serve, we'll find a place for you. Because we want to see more and more people getting involved. What has a tendency to happen in churches all across America is the same people do the same things and eventually burn out. Often you will look at a nominating committee list and you will see the same names multiple times. A whole lot more people than that in church. How has God called you to serve? Are you willing to serve in that capacity? Are you following after him, or are you doing your own thing? As David says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God. And that is my challenge for us today. Be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God. Next week is the first Sunday in July when the deacons will begin to form the list for the next deacon election. Men, you need to pray. Is this the year that I become a deacon? You need to pray if your name needs to stay on the list or not. Don't just say no because you've always said no. Actually pray about it. July is also when we begin meeting for the budget. The August business meeting is when all the positions will be presented by the nominating committee. And there's even other ways you can serve. Kim needs people that are willing to help out once in a while on Sunday morning. She's not looking for someone to be back there with the kids every morning. She's looking for someone who will say, a couple people who will say when there's like 20 kids, hey, I'll go back and help this morning. She's even said, she's like, I don't need somebody back there with me all the time. I need somebody when there's a lot of kids. So that's a way you can serve. We've got this Feeding the Shut-In ministry coming up. We've got VBS coming up. There's all sorts of ways that we can serve and get involved. And you might be like, well, I just don't know what position I can serve in. I don't know what I can do. Well, let's talk about it. Because God has chosen us to serve Him and be in His kingdom. And most importantly, God wants to use us. I've always found that amazing. God doesn't need me, but He wants to use me. And God wants to use each and every one of us. And each and every one of us matter today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this beautiful passage that You give to us in Chronicles. Lord, we thank You for how You chose David to be the king. We thank You for how You chose Solomon to be king and build a temple. And most importantly, Lord, we thank You how You chose Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And Lord, if there's someone here today that has never made that decision to give their heart and their life to Christ, I pray that they would come and say, I need Jesus. Because the Bible is very clear that the only way to heaven is through the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross. And God, You chose Jesus to be the only way to salvation. And so, Lord, we thank You for that. And Lord, as we look at our lives today, You have chosen us to obey. You have called us to serve You. You have given us incredible gifts. You have given us ability to serve, just as You gave David the ability to lead and serve You in that capacity, just as You gave Solomon the wisdom to lead and to build the temple in that capacity. You have given us the ability that we need to be the men and women that You have called us to be, and I pray that we would be such. Lord, we thank You and we love You. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.